In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. This morning we pick up our series of sermons on the seven churches of Asia Minor and look at the letter to the church in Philadelphia. We read in Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, living and reigning, dear fellow redeemed. The comedian W.C. Fields ordered that on his gravestone, these words were to be engraved. On the whole, I'd rather be in Philadelphia. Apparently, W.C. Fields thought it would be better to be in his hometown than be dead. Fields' sentiment is exactly the opposite of the Christian citizens of this city of Philadelphia. On the whole, they would rather have been dead than to be in Philadelphia. Because when they were dead, they would have inherited and received the New Jerusalem that the Lord Jesus is bringing down out of heaven. The ancient city of Philadelphia in Asia Minor is still there. It's a city of about 40,000 people called Alasahir in Turkey. But in ancient Philadelphia, those people looked forward to two things. Two things that God reminded them, that the Lord Jesus reminded them about in this letter through John. There is no criticism in this letter at all. Philadelphia was a church loyal to Christ. And to strengthen them, to help them endure the difficulties that they faced through this letter, Jesus promises them that no one would be able to shut the door on all the blessings that He, God, had for them, and that through God's Word, the Lord would preserve and protect them until the day when the New Jerusalem came down from heaven. And so the living Savior commanded the angel of the church, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write. First, that Christ is the open door for all spiritual blessings. And secondly, that God's Word gives patient endurance until the coming of the New Jerusalem. The Bible uses the term open door in a couple of different ways. When you read the book of Acts or the epistles of Paul, the Holy Spirit uses the term open door as a synonym for mission opportunities. That God has given an open door that the disciples of Christ in our mission work can walk through to share the good news of Jesus as our Savior. Our church body has enjoyed many such open doors over the years, particularly in Asia and Africa, but other places as well. You can probably think of times when God has opened a door for your former congregation or Bethlehem congregation and given us a good opportunity to share Jesus Christ. When we started our preschool many years ago, we looked on that opportunity as an open door to get the gospel to the children of our area. And even in our individual lives, opportunities have presented themselves with family members or friends or co-workers where God just opened that door so that we could tell that person about their Savior. The one who opens those doors is the one who here calls himself the one who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. Jesus Christ is both the door and the key to the door of the treasure house. Every treasure house has an access, a way into it. Jesus here refers to himself as the one having the key of David. This goes back to Isaiah chapter 22, where the prophet talked about the treasurer in Israel who was in charge of distributing the good things of the kingdom. Or we also think of Joseph. Remember when Pharaoh made Joseph the second in command, who was in charge of the distribution of the food and everything else. So Joseph or Eliakim were the door keeper to the treasure house of David. And here the risen and ruling Christ says, I am that open door. And when I open the door for spiritual blessings, the forgiveness of all your sins, new life for your souls and your bodies, an eternal home of peace and righteousness in heaven, no one can shut that door. And through John, he was promising the Christians in Philadelphia, nobody's going to shut that door. I know you don't have a lot of strength, but I'm going to keep strengthening you, and I'm going to keep opening that door and providing you all spiritual blessings in me. Jesus assured the Philadelphians that he would not allow anyone to rob them of those spiritual blessings. He says, I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Reminding them that they had little strength reminded them that they're not the door to God's blessings. They're not the key to God blessing us. But Jesus Christ is the door. He is the key that opens the door. And he also promised them that as he would send many difficulties on people to test them, and finally in the end would send those difficulties, that he would spare the Philadelphians from that. Not because they had earned it, but because of an act of his love, because of an act of his grace. You and I today still enjoy that promise that Christ gave through John to the church in Philadelphia. Don't we sing regularly as part of our communion liturgy, praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And then, depending on the time of the church year, we list some specific spiritual blessings that God has given us. You and I still enjoy that open door. God gives us every spiritual blessing, not through us, but through Christ. Jesus Christ is the key to the forgiveness of my sins. He is the key to that new life I enjoy when I was dead in my trespasses and sins. Jesus Christ is the key to go to heaven because God gives us all of those things through Him. Jesus Christ unlocks that vast treasure store of King David. David had that great wealth, and Solomon had that great wealth for distribution to the people as a picture or type of the wealth that God gives us. And men like Eliakim and Joseph and the other treasurers were types or pictures of Jesus as the one through whom we would go to obtain those. You and I are receiving daily great things from our God in the open door of Christ, as did the Philadelphians. But He promised them and promises us that there are even greater things to come. It doesn't matter whether we live in Carmel or Indianapolis or Noblesville or Fishers or wherever we live. You and I have that open door and the key to those treasures for our spirits in Christ. But one day, we're going to enjoy our full pleasure of citizenship in the New Jerusalem. This is not the Jerusalem that's there now that will become perfect in some millennium. This is a New Jerusalem, a different Jerusalem, a spiritual Jerusalem. And it will have in it a spiritual temple. The Bible describes that temple as Christ, and it also describes us as the pillars of that temple. Jesus alludes to both His deity in this letter to the Philadelphians, where He talks, first of all, in His deity about being the open door to all spiritual blessings. But notice how He also speaks about Himself as a true man when He talks about the temple of my God, the name of my God, the city of my God. So Jesus talks about God as being my God the same way that you and I do. And you and I are going to be a part of that structure, of that building of the New Jerusalem. The people in Philadelphia would really appreciate and understand the picture language that Jesus is giving here because they lived in an area that saw a lot of earthquakes. In fact, sometimes those earthquakes would destroy the whole city. And after the whole city was destroyed, the only thing that would be left standing were these strong pillars. And some of those pillars had the name of the city engraved on them. So Jesus alludes to that when He says, the New Jerusalem is coming, and you are going to be pillars of the new temple. And I'm going to have my name and the name of the city engraved on you. You all are pillars of the church. You are the pillars of the holy Christian church that will be translated into the heavenly Jerusalem when Jesus returns. And you bear the name of Christ. And you bear the name of the New Jerusalem as an indication of who owns us, of ownership. God owns us because He created us. God owns us because He purchased us with the blood of His Son. God owns us because He has called us into His church through the gospel. And now you and I wear that name of our God. And we wear the name of that holy city. You know, when you buy and wear Bethlehem attire, you wear the name of our congregation on there and people know where you belong. When you go to a family reunion and everybody gets the same color t-shirt and on the back or the front they have your family name, the so-and-so family reunion, everybody knows who you belong to. And so Jesus promised them and promised us that in heaven we'll have His name on us. We'll have the name of that city where we belong. Or I think if you drive now into the Carmel Arts District, see those big pillars on the four sides and with the name Carmel Arts District engraved on there so that you know just exactly where you are. You and I, with the Christians in Philadelphia, look forward to seeing that city, the New Jerusalem, to see our names engraved there as the pillars of that city and the pillars of that church. These promises are encouragement to us to endure patiently, to hold on to what you have, so that no one takes your crown. And Jesus promises that He will give us His new name. You know Jesus' old names? Servant, despised, forsaken by men. Those won't be the names that will be on our Savior when He comes with the holy city. Then He will be having the new names, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the victor over sin, death, and the devil. And He will give us those new names as well to wear as He shares them with us. Jesus told them, "I am coming soon." You know, when you and I are going through some difficult procedure, think of a friend of mine who was having some work done on her heart. And she said it was like being electrified by a fence. And she said to the doctor, "Stop!" And he said, "I can't, but it will be over soon." She said, "Then I was able to hold on just that little while longer." Or think if you're waiting to welcome somebody whom you haven't seen for ages, and they say, "I am coming soon." That helps give us patience. Jesus says, "I am coming soon." And so we will patiently be able to endure our temptations and our crosses and to not give up that crown which awaits us. But rather we look forward to the coming of the new city. Carmel, Indianapolis, Fishers, Noblesville, Philadelphia, or the New Jerusalem, on the whole, where would you rather be? Amen.